Hey, it's JD here, and I just wanted to throw something down, somewhat of a challenge to all you musically inclined folks out there. We are going to be doing a pod list again this year, and a pod list is simply a podcast playlist. It's a pod list. The previous four pod lists have consisted of talented members of our Pavement community submitting songs that they have covered from the Pavement oeuvre. Pavement adjacent songs are also welcome. So you could do PSOI, you could do Jix, you could do Malcolm is Solo. Anything is fair game, truly. So get your band together or grab an acoustic guitar and just play your fucking guts out. From there, submit the song to me by email, and we'll go from there. So please submit those songs, jd@meetingmalcolmist.com, or even better, use wetransfer.com if it's a big WAV file. And WAV files are what I prefer. That will work out just magnificently. That's what she said. Podlist 5 coming July 8th. So get those songs in and be a part of something special. Thanks so much. Now, on with the show.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
So Cam from Toronto, what do you think of Starlings of the Slipstream?
This is a great little song. I love this song just as a standalone item. I love this song going right into the song Finn to wrap up that album.
Yeah.
But those might actually be my two favorite songs on Bright in the Corners. Like, what a great 1-2 punch to close things out. Finn is probably actually my favorite song on that album.
Really good.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and 6 boxes of M&Ms. How will your favorite song fare in this ranking? Well, you'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, we're joined by Pavement superfan Dan from Rochester.
Hello.
I can see you right across the lake, Dan.
Hey, yeah.
Toronto.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Do you remember when there was the ferry? For
yeah,
a couple years?
I've heard tell summers. Of that, yeah.
Yeah.
People were more interested in going to Toronto from Rochester, and I don't think the Torontans were interested in coming here, unfortunately.
Oh, I thought it was a cool idea.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I would love if that was still a thing, because driving to Toronto, you have to go all around the lake, so
yeah, exactly.
It's a shortcut, you know?
It was totally perfect. I never used it, but it was totally perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Concept. So let's talk about Pavement.
Yes, let's.
This is why we're all here, why we're all gathered around the fire to listen to Dan from Rochester regale us with his Pavement origin story.
Yeah, so
take us, set the scene.
Yeah, set the scene. So the scene was the mid-90s, and you know, I was in high school and getting into music, and basically, you know, the internet was new. You couldn't really download songs. You know, if I wanted to hear a song, I had to buy the CD. So it was kind of, you know, I had limited funds and limited accessibility to get to a CD store. You know, we had the one place. It was called Media Play. It was like a chain that sold CDs, you know, so it's kind of like a Best Buy or whatever.
Okay.
So, you know, that was that was what I had to do. So I would sometimes take a chance on bands or CDs that I had heard about. And I had gotten really into REM, and they were like my favorite band during that time. So I heard about this band called Pavement that had a song about REM, which I thought was so cool. So I ended up getting that CD, the No Alternative compilation.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, and it had Nirvana on it, and it had like Smashing Pumpkins and a bunch of big bands from that time, and it had Pavement. And I got that. So that was the first Pavement song I heard. And you know, it was cool. I just loved the novelty, because of, you know, a band singing about another band. I just thought it was funny, you know.
Sort of meta in a way now.
Yeah, yeah. It was so cool. And that really put them on my on the map for me, because I was like, I was seeking out all the REM stuff, all the B-sides, you know, and I had a book and stuff. So, yeah, just hearing about that, I was like, I have to hear that. So, you know, and it was cool. You know, I loved the song. I was starting to move kind of from that like alt rock kind of scene to getting into the more indie stuff. And whatever it was about Pavement, what I had read about, you know, really piqued my interest. And then hearing that song, you know, and it wasn't, I would say, like, it's not my favorite Pavement song, but like, you know, it's cool. It was fun. I liked it. Nostalgic
probably now,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then this was probably in, I'm guessing just because of the release date. Yeah. 99. So probably like months before Pavement broke up, I was doing this, and, I went to the Media Play and I bought one of the cheaper CDs that I could find, which I have right here, which is the Spit on a Stranger single EP.
Nice.
Because it was cost effective, you know? It had five songs, and it was pretty cheap. So I don't remember what else they had available at the time, but I took a shot on this, and I took it home. I listened to Spit on a Stranger. I loved it. I skipped to The Porpoise and the Hand Grenade because I liked the title. And, you know, that song, I thought it was good. Didn't blow me away, I don't think. But then I went back to track two, Harness Your Hopes. And that was really the one that cemented it for me. That song.
Really?
Yeah. Which is awesome because, as we know, it's a big Spotify hit now in the streaming era. And it was back in 99. That was the hit for me and my friends, too. We all really loved that song. So that was the one that did it for me. And then I started collecting them all. So, and here we are.
I guess you got into it too, right at the point where they started to do the reissues. So you were able to get those.
Yeah. It was great timing because, yeah, that's a good point. Even though like the band had broken up by that point, you know, a few years later, I was in college and for the first time in my life, hanging out with people who also knew who Pavement were. And the Slanted reissue was coming out, and it was like a big deal. And everyone, you know, some people were new to Pavement, so I got to be like, "Oh, you got to hear this," you know. And so, yeah, it was good times for sure.
It's always cool when you get to be somebody's Sherpa, you know?
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly.
Just guiding them through this, you know, this mountainous region of songs that they don't know
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I had a radio show at school, so it was fun digging up all the weird stuff to play and hanging out.
What was your playlist like on radio?
You know, let's see. Guided by Voices, of course, nice. Big one. I was into bands like there's this band Idlewild who had just released a record that I thought was really cool.
Okay.
You know, just all the classic, you know, Matador stuff, Yola Tango, of course. Yeah. And you know, I would get into some weirder stuff too. Like, you know, I'd play the Shags or like, you know, Captain Beefheart or, you know, eclectic stuff. Pretty classic.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Freeform, like college radio. Yeah. Yeah. It was super fun. All my friends were music nerds, you know, so it was a big party every week, hanging out on people's shows and just coming up with cool, creative, weird, musical things to do. So, and you know, Pavement was like the guiding light, you know, it was like the band that united everyone.
That's so cool because I didn't get that experience at all. I still, you know, that was one of the reasons I started the show initially was I didn't get people to I didn't have people in my life to really talk about Pavement with, so
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I'll stand on my soapbox and talk into the ether.
sometimes it's rare, you know, to get to interact with people like that, you know.
I met lots of cool people doing it, like including
it seems like you have
Rochester.
Yeah
man. So if you had to rank the records, you came to Terror Twilight. That would have been your first record that was released in your fandom.
Right, right.
Where does it rank for you?
You know, I always say to myself, like, they're all pretty much more or less equal, ranked. I mean, they're all like 5-star records to me.
Agreed.
I went through a phase where Bright in the Corners was my favorite. That was definitely my favorite. And I would say it's not anymore. I don't know if Terror Twilight has spent too much time on the top, like the, you know, the,
yeah,
the personal top slot, but, it deserves a spot. You know, I've talked to, you know, I have friends who consider that their favorite Pavement record. And I always say, I respect that because some people view that one as maybe like slightly less for some reason. And I don't get
so
that at all.
Different, right?
Yeah,
it's so different.
I don't get
different.
That at all. And, yeah, I mean, we need Terror Twilight. You know, it's just the fact that Pavement made that record with Nigel Godrich and had that kind of cool, shiny production. I mean, that's so crazy to go from slanted to that.
Right.
Know? And then you have everything in between. So it's just, yeah, it's all good. It's all great.
Yeah. Yeah. Terror Twilight spent some time at the top for me.
Yeah.
Not that much, but Bright in the Corners is currently my favorite.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Beside Watery. Like, I mean, I think Watery deserves a spot on the mantle all to itself. Like,
that's kind of like a very perfect release. You know, it's
like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so crazy how good that fucking thing is.
Yeah.
And then even the session tracks that didn't make it to the EP.
Sumi Jack, Greenlander.
Sumi Jack, Greenlander, So Stark, Skyscraper.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're all... Mm-hmm. Stone Cold classics. It's bonkers.
It is.
It's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, and having those all collected on that reissue is so great. I would always listen to those Peel session things. You know, like Kentucky Cocktail and all that. And back when they were just bootlegs, you know, just like a tape someone made off the radio. So it's really nice that they released proper, you know, nice sounding quality versions of those because
Westing is on vinyl now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't have it, but I should probably get it because I've got the EPs, but I've got them built into my wall as like artwork, you know?
Oh yeah.
Here, I'll show you.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I've never encountered, one of those in the flesh. One of those actual EPs, you know? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I turned on my light for somehow. There we go. I'm an old man when it comes to this technology. Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
Doing great.
I used to do so well. I used to know it all internet wise and shit, but now it's enough about me.
It happens.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about your Pavement origin story, or should we take a break and
you know
the track?
That pretty much covers it. I got, you know, this again, it was early internet, so I was rocking like the Pavement message board back in the day. There was a little community.
Wow.
Yeah. It was cool. It was good times, you know. I met some people there that later on I actually got to meet in person, and it for a few years that was a pretty cool scene. I remember the message board like got bought out by another band somehow. I don't even know how that was possible, but
what?
Yeah. So like one day you show up to the message board URL. It was like Pro Boards or something, where it was like, you know, anyone can like start a message board, but I think some other band somehow had the clout or the money or whatever to buy the URL. And it's like, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
How about shows? Have you seen any shows?
Oh, I knew this was going to come up. I have never seen Pavement.
Oh, that's fine.
I have seen Malkmus. But yeah, you know, I missed them in the 90s, just a little too young, coming in late. I missed them in the 2010s. I don't know really what I was up to, but I was kind of just not in the right area. Like, I mean, I live in Rochester. I always have to drive, and sometimes I'm just not up for it. And then the newest one, I was kind of eyeing Toronto, but yeah, I didn't make it. So,
oh man,
I know. But I have listened to so many live Pavement bootlegs and shows and stuff. But yeah, my first time seeing Malkmus was on Piglib tour.
Oh, right.
This was back in college era. That's really when I started going to shows a lot. So yeah, we went and saw him at the Knitting Factory, I think it was,
in New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw him open for Radiohead.
I saw him open for Radiohead too.
Nice.
In Montreal. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was where was it? I think I want to say like Baltimore area.
Oh, cool.
DC. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you get the chance, I mean, it seems like they're on the clock, you know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know that we're going to get many more. I don't.
Yeah. I really should. I know it's, you know, I know it'll be amazing.
Like, next time you get the opportunity, right? You have to pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
That'll be,
I need to.
That'll be so cathartic. Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break here and we'll come back and we'll talk about track number 39.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
39. Okay, we are back, and that was, of course, Pueblo, the 16th track on Wowie Zowie. It sits between Kennel District and Half a Canyon in a nice little sandwich there toward the back end of the record. This is the fourth Wowie Zowie song on the countdown after Best Friend's Arm at 49, Motion Suggests Itself at 48, and We Dance at 46. So this is so far the highest ranking Wowie Zowie track at 39.
Oh, no.
And, what do you have to say, Dan from Rochester, about Pueblo?
Oh, man. So, first of all, when I listened to this a lot this week, and there's three versions. So I did some deep diving into comparing the different, like, studio right. versions that are out there. But the first thing that, surprised me was the length is relatively short. It's slightly less than 3.5 minutes. And to me, that song always felt like very epic to me. Maybe just because it's sandwiched toward the end of like, you know, the end of a long epic record. It's right by like half a canyon, and it kind of, it vibes with that song. But I would have, if you had asked me before how long it was, I would have said like 5 minutes or something, just because it has a very languid pace in it. Sure, it kind of just sprawls all over the
place.
Great
use of languid.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it felt bigger, I guess longer than it really is, but it does what it does in a relatively short time. So that's cool. It's that really led me on the path to kind of figuring out like, hey, what's going on with the song structure, you know? And it's a simple song, but it has a kind of like spacey jam in the center. And
sure does.
You know,
and that's like, to steal your word, epic, those guitar swells.
Yeah.
You know, they make this song so epic. And then that blistering is the wrong word, because it's not blistering. It's not languid anymore, but it's
crushing.
It's heavy. Fucking great soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, yeah. So I love that. That's good mix of, you know, that's the wowie zowie like archetypal sound. It's like the noise, the beauty, the catharsis, the kind of surreal, you know, you don't even know really what the song's about until I listened to your earlier episode, which was, geez, like 3 years ago when you first talked about the song on your show. And you told a story about how it was about like a hanging. And
remember this at all.
Yeah. So I think it was something Malkmus said. It was like a story about a guy, like a mayor of some Southern California town. And, you know, there was a guy getting hung or hanged, I guess it is. And like a love interest. And I guess Malkmus had some, you know, story behind it, which I thought was interesting.
Which is rare for him, really.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a song like Pink India, you know, which he would write much later. It's kind of that story song kind of vibe. And the songs have similar vibes too, in the sense that they're kind of slow and have this guitar part that's kind of lyrical, you know? And so it lends itself to telling like some sort of narrative. But also like at that point, Malkmus wasn't really writing narratives that you could like parse just by, you know, they might not have defined words or anything, you know. He had a way of just singing stuff, and it would be evocative without really, you know, without you being able to tell what he was really trying to communicate. So you know, that's Malkmus's like big talent, I think, or one of them.
I do too. Like just mashing phrases together that just work rhythmically and from a cadence perspective, but they're so obtuse, you know?
Yeah.
This song, I love the dynamics. Like I love that, like how it does go from those guitar swells to that, again, I'm going to use your word again, that those, you know, I called it chill guitar to start. And then you go into the main verse with very slow down lyrics. It takes him almost, you know, 30 seconds to get the first two lines out, you know, before you get into the thick of things. Question for you.
Yes.
Seeing as you listened to the episode and I did not, and I have a very poor short-term memory. It's very funny. I was with some friends yesterday and we were talking about work from 15 years ago. And I was naming people's first and last names that, you know, we haven't seen in 15 years.
Yeah.
Very good long-term, but short-term, boy, does it suck. I have a difficult time making new memories. So it's a shitty thing. But my question here is, who is Jacob?
Right. So I was pondering this because, of course, a few songs earlier on the album, he's talking about Jacob Javits. So I'm you know, that's like a New York City landmark or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
So I was like, well, is that connected? I don't think so. I mean, Pueblo, so it's on maybe in some subliminal way, but I don't think it's supposed to be the same guy. You've also got this Spanos County, I think that he says. And
right.
in the thing you quoted on the other episode, he referred to the Spanos as like a person. Like it was a, you know, like this mayor of this town.
Oh.
So okay. Yeah. So yeah, I really don't know. But I think, you know, Jacob, I guess, is the protagonist of the song who's getting ceremonially or unceremoniously murdered. I think, but again, in the context, you're not really sure. Is he like pleading? He's saying, you know, Jacob, you move, you don't move. Like, so
it sounds like, doesn't it? Like, yeah, if you move, you don't move.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, Jacob is also mentioned in the Pueblo Domain version of the song, which is the Peel version of the song.
Okay.
Which, I was comparing these two. So, you know, that one was recorded in February 94, like a few days before Crooked Rain came out. So, you know, this song we know has been kicking around for a while before it was eventually released. And it kind of went through some changes. So the Peel session version is he's saying like, Jacob, you glow, you know, you won't go. And, but the lyrics in there are so very abstract, even, you know, more so than the album version.
Really?
Yeah. And it's hard to, the early version is really different too. It's longer. The chorus repeats more times. And, you know, there's kind of like more to the meat of the song and less jam.
Oh, okay.
Version. Yeah. So I always thought that version, the Peel version, was like the superior one. But I never really realized how different they are. Like they really are. So I'll send you if you want, or I don't know if I can do a screen share here, but I structured them out. It's probably not too interesting for podcast, but you know, I wrote down like, you know, verse one, chorus one, you know, and mapped out the two different songs to compare.
And they're pretty different.
They're pretty different. Yeah. The Wowie Zowie version basically does verse, chorus, jam, verse, chorus, and then outro. And then the Pueblo Domain actually repeats each of the choruses twice. It's twice as long. And then it does verse, two choruses, verse, two choruses, then a little jam, and then it ends on an instrumental version of the chorus. And it's a little louder and more boisterous and like energetic. So
it's on the Sordid Sentinels.
It's on the Crooked Rain.
It's on the Crooked Rain
reissue. Okay. Yeah. So check that one out for sure. Especially, yeah. And just anyone, if you haven't heard that, it's worth checking out the Peel session at the end, tucked way at the end of that Crooked Rain reissue. They do also Brink of the Clouds, which ended up as a Wowie Zowie B-side. But it has a section at the end, like the kind of rockin' part of the song that's not on the studio version. Huh. And yeah, it's good. You know, it's cool. I just, you know, Pavement doing like the unreleased songs on the radio sessions was just so cool. And it really lent to their mythos, you know, the mythology of the band, like what, you know, they have all these songs, like where's all this stuff coming from? Why does Malkmus just essentially just throw these gems away kind of thing? So, you know, which goes back to Hold on Hope and all that stuff, you know, he was so productive around this time, you know, and if you look at those reissues, you know, all the B-sides, all the stray tracks, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like from 89 to 93, they were so prolific, right?
Yeah. And there's so many songs on that Crooked Rain reissue that ended up on Wowie Zowie. So it's almost like right after Slanted and Enchanted was a huge burst of songs that, you know, ended up going out into the next two or three albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's far out.
Yeah.
So what do you think about where this song is rated? Are you a fan of this song?
I'm a big fan of the song, but I think it's probably properly rated. It feels right. It feels like a song where Like, I do really like it, but I think it works best in the context of the album, or at least it really shines as a kind of almost penultimate track on Wowie Zowie. You know, it's almost like the climax of that album, like the emotional climax along with Half a Canyon, you know, just like
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, and I also, I don't know for sure, but I kind of figured that like a lot of Pavement fans might not know like it by the title or something, because it's not, you don't really hear the title in the song.
No.
I don't think he sings it in the song. He does on the Peel version.
Oh, he does.
It's in the first line. Yeah. I didn't realize it for a while, but I was just listening and he says something about Pueblo right in like the first line. But you know, regardless, like it seems like a song that's a deep cut, but also well worthy to be a fan favorite, you know, because it's very Pavement-y. It's almost like you couldn't really get more in a certain like Pavement mode of this kind of like, it's almost a little country-ish, but it's just noisy and crunchy. It's a little jammy and spacey. It's pure Pavement.
Yeah. I think it would fit on Watery. Like I think, you know, think it could. Like it's that good, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it, and if you hear the other version of the song on Crooked Rain, not the Peel version, but the, they call it the Beach Boys version.
Right. You know? Yes. Yeah.
And it's all that is an instrumental. It's that pretty guitar intro and verse melody and everything. And, Malkmus doing some like just kind of wordless like harmonies, but just listening to that version, the way the guitar sounds is less twangy and is more sounds like, you know, In the Mouth of Desert or that kind of slanted style.
Okay.
And you can kind of hear the how it fits into that kind of zone and how it kind of changed and fits into the Wowie Zowie zone, where the guitar is more like a little slidey or a little like twangy. Or
it's really clean, right? Like there's no distortion coming through it. It's very clean sounding.
Yeah. Yeah. I would guess that, you know, the sound of the song kind of influenced the lyrical direction a little bit. It feels just like it feels a little country-ish, a little like desert-y or something.
Yeah. There's a lot of that on Wowie Zowie, isn't there?
Yeah. But and to me that sounds like I would connect that to sounds from the Watery era too. Like even like Greenlander is kind of this almost like kind of stark and almost like these desolate songs he was doing around this time, like Rain Ammunition's another one.
Right.
I don't know if you talked, did you talk about like Rain Ammunition on the your first?
Didn't get to it.
You didn't do like the B-side stuff.
Well, the initial thing was to use the bonus feed as B-sides. And I think I got through 35 of them.
Yeah.
There's like 40 episodes on the bonus feed. Now there's the bottom 100 or the bottom 50.
Of course,
top 100 as well. So I think, well, I can't give it away. I can't tell you
don't give anything away.
Rain Ammunition is on that bottom 50.
But you know, I don't know. I love all those stray songs around this era. So yeah, you know, there's a very defined vibe. Also kind of similar to like the early Silver Juice stuff that Malkmus was on.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could connect like stylistically that kind of like deserty, watery domestic slanted vibe and see how it kind of morphed into like the more country tinged Wowie Zowie thing.
Yeah, and that's around the same time that David was doing, starting to get a bit more twangy as well. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I know I talked to Bob recently and he talked about how David pushed Steve a little bit. Well, not a little bit, probably a lot, right? Like lyrically,
there was a lot of competition between those guys. You have to think.
They pushed each other,
Yeah. Two, like, I mean, how cool is it that these two like amazingly talented guys got to meet and work together in their lives, you know? It's
just fucking insane that really converged.
Yeah. And I get the impression that, you know, Malkmus, everything kind of came easy to him. And I think Berman was someone who had to really push himself a little more, like, you know, maybe like a little more dedication to craft or whatever. I think he would look at Malkmus as like, you know, what, you know, like, how does he do it kind of guy, you know, and just had to kind of like, you know, they had to like one up each other a little bit, you know, like a friendly, competitive kind of thing, you know?
Well, I think Bob says, you know, he feels fortunate. I think I've heard him say that he feels fortunate to have worked with one of the best songwriters to ever live and one of the best lyricists to ever live.
Yeah, totally. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob's had a great, lucky, you know, it's awesome for him to be able to work with those guys, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got for you this week. Is there anything else that you want to tie up? Is there anything that people can plug or anything that you can plug for people to look up?
Sure. Yeah, actually,
that you're doing?
I'm in a band called Rectangle Creep. And
Rectangle Creep.
Yeah. We're pretty guided by voices influenced, and there's Pavement in there.
So you have 10,000 songs.
We have a lot of albums and stuff, but if anyone...
You do have albums.
Check the band camp.
Cool, and, okay.
I do some... I have a lot of different projects, so maybe I'll just mention that one, but it's a whole universe of bands and stuff like that. But it's fun.
Great.
It's my... Yeah. You know, music is awesome. So
go to Bandcamp and search for Rectangle Creep.
Yeah, Rectangle Creep. And
cool. Well, it's been great talking to you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for letting me be a part of this project. It's really cool what you do.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Of course.
Sorry to interrupt.
I was just gonna say how much I really love your interviews with Spiral, and it's really cool how generous and he's been with
talking to you and all the other guys too.
Yeah. But I mean, I love how accessible he is, and it's so cool learning about that stuff. So I'm looking forward to, you know, whatever new Pavement stuff comes out, if you know, whatever news and projects, you know, I appreciate that you help bring this stuff to light.
I'll fly the flag forever, man.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, great talking to you again, Dan.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com. Podcasts and such.